I'm going to go ahead and ask you to, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. As you're turning there, I want to just give a quick little bit of a review of what we've been looking at. And these past few weeks, we've really been looking at what it is for, or what it truly means for the Lord to come and tabernacle, is the word used in Scripture. But to dwell with us. In other words, to make his home within us. And we talked about the scripture last week in John chapter 7, where Jesus gets up as he is in the temple on the last day of the feast, and he declares, "If anybody wishes to come unto me, he will have rivers of living water flowing from him." And oftentimes we see phrases like this within scripture. And I don't ever believe it's Jesus' attempt just to be, "Let me throw this one at you, see how it feels. Let me try to confuse you a little bit. What does this mean, having rivers of flowing water coming from you?" But in essence, what you see is this is something that occurs all throughout Scripture. And it's really an effort that we see God wanting us to have an understanding concerning who he is and who we are in him. And there is many ways in which he looks to explain his relationship with us, and how he longs for us to respond in relationship with him. And so we see him say it many times in just the chapter over of John chapter 8. I know I had you turn to Isaiah 60, by the way. I know I'm talking in John, but it's okay. Hang with me a little bit. We'll get there. But in John chapter 8, he also says that I am the light of the world. He says that I am the door. I am the great shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Once again, these are not things and attempts for Jesus to try to confuse everybody. But what he's wanting to explain is this understanding of something spiritual, something of heaven that actually has the ability to impact our daily lives here on earth. And so when you see him say something like this and you're almost like, "I don't quite understand what he's saying," don't just throw it out. Don't just move on. Ask the Lord for explanation on this. Okay, that's what it's of crucial importance that we understand these things because it unveils to us the understanding of who we are supposed to be in him. I love the songs that we just declared this morning, especially this one that declares that I am who you say I am. Right? It's a mantra that's so crucial for us to understand in the way that we live our lives, because if I don't live my life according to who he says I am, who do I allow to define my own identity? And think about this for a second. Think about in your life how oftentimes you let circumstances define your own identity. How often you might let disappointments define your identity. How often you might find a harsh word from someone, or a harsh name, or a failure define who you are and your identity. We've seen this so much within our culture that we almost have even kind of removed the word "no" from our communication, because somehow when I hear the word "no," I feel like you're saying no to me as an individual rather than "no, I just don't really want to help you with this." Right? It's kind of crazy how this is really just permeating throughout culture. The reality is we have a choice as to whether or not we believe those lies that speak into our head that say, "Oh, well, you're being rejected. You're just a disappointment. You're just a failure. You're not good at so-and-so. You'll never allow dot, dot, dot." That's a choice. The reason I know it's a choice is because there's an everlasting truth all throughout the scriptures, the very word of God, your and my creator, that says differently. And that's what I want to talk about this morning as we're going into this understanding of what does this mean to walk as someone who has rivers of living water with them, or as someone who has light within them. And I want to show you in the book of Isaiah how this is something that God has been speaking long before even Jesus actually walked upon this earth during his time as our Messiah. Okay? In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear on you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." When I just read these few short verses, two things strike me. One, I finally know where my mom got it when I was little, where she come to wake me up, "Rise and shine." Anybody have that? I was like, oh, she was quoting scripture over me this whole time. I shouldn't have been so cranky, right? Right? We have those people. I don't know if this is you or not. We have those morning people who love to arise and shine and face the day as a new beginning. My wife is one of those people. I am not. I am not so much. I take a little bit more convincing in the arena of arising and shining, right, in the morning. But, you know, it's funny. It's actually a very appropriate saying to say over someone as they awaken, right? Because in essence, that's what the Lord is speaking over to the nation of Israel, speaking over really his entire kingdom of believers. Because it's a mandate. The Hebrew in this is the imperative, meaning it's a command. Arise, shine, for your light has come. In other words, morning is here. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. It's time to rise up. This word arise, right? It's not simply just to lift yourself up, but I love the Hebrew because with one Hebrew word normally comes about 9 definitions, right? And so this word arise, you might remember it as the word kum, whenever Jesus speaks to the girl who is asleep, but many think are dead. He says, little girl, talitha kum is what it says. Arise. It is to be established, to be fixed, to be fulfilled. It is to be proven, to be confirmed, or even to be powerful. To arise in this commandment that's being issued is really arise and take your place. Begin to operate in that which you've been called. It's interesting because, as it says, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In other words, something has been gifted to you. Something has been poured out upon you. It's the exact same thing that Jesus is explaining when he says, if anyone comes unto me, rivers of living water will flow through them. Something is being given. And it even says in John chapter 7, verse 39, that he speaks of this concerning the Spirit. Well, very much it is like the light, right? We remember that John testifies that in Jesus, in him was the light of life, and that was the light of men. In other words, it was something to be given, something to be stewarded. Do you understand that as a believer, you've been given something? You need to smile. I need you to smile right now. I need you to know that you've been given something. Thank you. Okay. All right. Because when I'm given something, I usually don't go. And that's a little bit of what I'm seeing right now. I'm just making sure you're awake. Okay. Some of you, I know, were up last night, but stick with me on this, right? You've been given something. You've been given light. And it's not just this little candle. You understand that this is the light of life. Literally, that which fuels life, that which is able to shine in the dark places, taking away anything that is unfulfilled, unsatisfied, that is empty. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He says, behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Take that in for a minute. The Lord himself will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. You will bear the image of God, and you will bear the glory of God. Here's the beauty. It's not something haughty to say. You know why? We didn't come up with it. He did. It's his definition. It's his gift. He gets to give that which he chooses to give. But then we have the responsibility then to choose. Do I receive this gift? Do I know what I've been given in bearing the image of God as his child? And literally bearing the very glory of God because he says I can. I don't see how you can be haughty in this. I don't see how you can be arrogant because you receive a gift that changes your life. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks briefly concerning, I think, this. What does this look like? What does it look like for something to rest upon me? It says in verses 6 and 7, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Understand that as we read this prophecy in Isaiah, it speaks to us as his children as well. Nobody's discounted from this, only those who choose not to believe upon that which they've been given. You see the similarity of what's happening, that as you've received this gift, you've been established. Therefore, be rooted and establish yourself in this in order that you may be filled up to overflowing. You see this process all throughout Scripture. He longs to pour something out in order that we would be fulfilled, so much to the point that we overflow to other people. This essence, this thing that we're talking about, is literally his glory. Because it fills me as a vessel and reveals to everybody else, not me, but him. And it shines the light of him. And that's what the prophet Isaiah speaks about. The second command, shine. Everybody ready? One, two, three. Shine. What is this? What is he talking about right here? Oh man, this definition lit me up. Oh, pun intended. Pun intended. Shine. That was not planned, by the way. It's my wiring as a pastor, I guess. Oh my goodness, it's deeply in there. Oh. I got that one from Jim. Shine. Literally, this is what it means. Become light. It means to become light. That's the tense that is used in Hebrew. It's not just shine. It's literally become something. Like you change into something that shines. So it's not simply just try to muster up whatever you can that's in there. Literally, you change your identity. You become light. You illuminate. You light up that which you walk into. And the reason you're able to do that is because of what you've been given. But if you don't understand or believe in that which you've been given, how would you ever display it? You might have heard somebody talk about it, and so you might try to copy it. You might have an idea of what you think you want it to look like, and so you might try to manifest that within you. You might just want to redefine it completely and be like, there could be no light in this vessel. You have no idea what my past is like. Well, he says differently. And truth is truth, whether we choose to grasp a hold of it or not. Therefore, it's my encouragement to us as a church, as his children, to believe that which he has said concerning us, that we would take hold and believe that which he has called us to. Become light. Rise up. Be established. Become light, because light has come to you, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Verse 3, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now you may have something a little bit different in your translation than that, but I assure you, it's really good to understand this verse that's up here right now. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. What do nations represent other than the powers of the world? That which is harnessed. And all nations will literally what? Come to your light. And I believe it's absolutely important for us as believers to go and proclaim the gospel. But in our going, understand this. There's got to be something in us that people long after. And it's not something we can muster up on our own. I think that's where we get so frustrated and confused. If we would just stop trying to make ourselves look better in our own eyes and just take a hold of that which he's called us to, it would be something that literally fills us and just comes out. You can't explain it other than it's just I believe in the God in whom I love. And I'm transformed. I'm transfixed upon him. And I'm transformed by him. And praise be to God that it overflows to you, because you can have it as well. It will literally transform the atmosphere that you walk into. And nations will come to your light. And kings represent wisdom and leadership, to the brightness of your rising. We come full circle. Because if you and I don't arise, nobody will come to anything. If I don't rise up, being rooted, built up, and established in that which he has said about me, I should not to expect anybody to be drawn to the things of my life. There are many things in this world that the enemy, that flesh, will attempt to tell us that we need to take a hold of in order to be successful. But nothing will compare to the glory of God. And you were meant to bear the image of the glory of God. Are you still smiling? I'm sure you're still smiling. You ought to smile. I pray that this awakens you, that lights you up. Recognize what he says in verse 2. He says, listen, here's what's going to happen. Behold, darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness, the peoples. This darkness, it communicates a thick cloud. It's something of obscurity. It causes things to be obscure and unknown. You ever felt like you've been walking in a cloud before? You don't know which way is up. You have no idea what's going on. It's because it has flooded our world due to sin, due to iniquity. But what does the passage say? What does the Lord say to us? But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. That in that situation, you will actually be that source of light. Not you by yourself, but that which is with you. And so it's just like what David says. That yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Though I am surrounded by death around me, though darkness attempts to envelop me, I fear no evil because you are with me. And that's what it means to have a relationship with the Father. It doesn't excuse me from circumstances. It doesn't take me out of them. But it does show me the light to expose things around them in order that I may have victory in them. You understand this? That is the life of the believer. Therefore, don't join with darkness. I'm telling you, there's many attempts or many possible options within this world and this culture in which you can just join with darkness. If we just choose to sit idly and become part of the cloud, we just make it thicker. So it means there's a choice. You literally become an agent of darkness or you become an agent of light. Because either way, you will be filled. You will be covered. But thanks be to God that he gives us a choice of what will cover and fill us. Because he's made every possible way, giving us everything pertaining to life and godliness in order to conquer the things of this world through our faith. Jesus, I believe, speaks very similar to this. This is actually our New Testament passage today in Matthew, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 5. He speaks almost the exact same thing, reiterates what the prophet Isaiah is speaking. He just says a little bit differently. And maybe now that we're seeing what the Lord desires for our lives, it'll make a little more sense. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I love this. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Make no mistake about why Jesus came. Was it to conquer sin? Absolutely. Was it to rise again so that we could forever be with our God on the third day? Absolutely. But it was also so that you may be a bearer of light. And that I may be a bearer of light. And that I might have works in my life that demonstrate that light which is in me in order that men might see it and glorify me? No. Him. In heaven. In order that they might be filled up from the overflow that's here. That they would have relationship and be overflowed and be overflowed. This is the principle of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. That we would advance it. I'm a light in the world. A city set upon a hill. Grasp what that does. If a city is set upon a hill, it makes sense why nations would gather to it and why kings would be drawn to it. But I have to be willing to set my lamp on a lampstand. I have to be willing to establish my city and arise it up and be built up upon that which he says. I have to be absolutely convinced of what he says concerning me, and that's faith. I have to believe what he has said. And I would encourage you to be very careful to saturate your mind concerning what he has said. You want a place to start? Maybe you've never sat and just done that. Go through in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just read red letters. And you will get a grasp of who he is and who he wants you to be. Start there. And then I encourage you to expound throughout this entire book. Because this entire book, the whole Word of God, says the same thing over and over and over again. I've called you to be my children. I've called you to bear my light. But, as he says from the very beginning to Israel, I set before you life and blessing, and death and curse. Choose life. Choose life, he said. But understand there's a choice. Let your good deeds shine before men. This is part of the overflow. Just in summation of this, I want you to grasp the simplicity of why God saw fit for his presence to be with us. One is for our fulfillment. Okay? One is for our satisfaction. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at what true fulfillment and satisfaction looks like. And the second thing is for our overflow and for our pouring out. Because what God gives is not just for one person, but it's enough to sustain an entire community around him. He longs for us to be filled up to overflowing. Not that we can have excess, but that our excess can be for the purpose of blessing. Understand this. In every sense of the word, in every sense of our lives, we're going to be looking at what it is to walk as a disciple concerning relationship with our Lord Jesus and see that relationship with God is consisted of fulfillment and of overflow. I encourage you just to think about that during these days, during this week. Don't let your senses be dulled by so many things that are yelling at you in this world, by things that are screaming from your inbox and email, by things that are screaming to you from your friends on Facebook, by things that are screaming through that box that you have on your wall, from the news stations, from the morning shows, from those things that seem to be just screaming even within you when you go out to walk, that the enemy is just trying to steal away. Instead, make a choice. Be resolved. He's called me to arise, to shine, because his light has shone in my heart and illuminated the goodness of my God. And it has untwisted the things of the past in order that I may now walk sanctified. I may walk in a newness of spirit, in a new mindset with him. And you may say, I don't feel like I have a new mindset. I'm telling you, believe it. If you believe upon the full washing of the blood of Christ and watch him as he just walks you through it day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. He will if you give your mind to him. But you got to be willing. Amen.